The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasure good evening, everybody, and welcome back into the football season here, 2015 version from the PNC Center at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest. Welcome to the Bears Coaches Show featuring head coach John Fox. Preseason coming to a close, but John, when the calendar flips tomorrow to September, just still 2 weeks to go. You got 12 more days. I mean, the season still is in a preseason training camp type mode. I'm sure you're telling your guys the same thing.
Yeah, I think we still have a lot of work to do, and you know, guys have been really good as far as their attention to detail and the things we're working on. And but we could use all 12 of those days.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm sure even the very best of rosters are loaded with players. Coaches feel the same way, regardless. Correct?
Yeah, I think
you have to.
You know, every year the personality of your team changes. You know, that's the modern day NFL. So there's free agency, players leave, move. So every year, due to injuries, all kind of ways that it's a very fluid process. And, being a new staff and whatnot, getting your culture taught, your systems taught, there's not enough time.
Well, not enough time. And this brings me to a great point, because I know that some people may be tired of hearing you say, well, I've only had three games with these guys. That's code for, I don't really know everybody yet. I still have to learn these guys. It's only been 9 months since I've been on the job. Is that the essence of this?
Yeah, I think, until you start playing games, I mean, this game is really about what to do, how to do it, the techniques involved, and then being able to execute it under pressure. And so, you create practice deals. I mean, you create situational football into practice. But how they execute on game day, on that, with that pressure I'm talking about, you don't know. And so, I think, myself, the staff, everybody involved, we're getting to know players and how they react in those pressure situations.
Yeah, so my next question is, are you getting a sense for some guys what they are going to be?
Yeah, I think, every day you're with them. I mean, you get close to all of them. We just cut down to 75, saying goodbye, to guys, young men that have been, busting their rear ends all off season, all throughout camp. And, saying goodbye to them is not easy. You build relationships, and this is a relationship business. It's a people business, and, that's never easy. But, you can't keep them all. They understand that. They understand it's a business. It's not personal. And, you keep the best guys, in your opinion, that are going to help you.
In your 26 years in the National Football League, and then, going back to college, you were a recruiter in college. You coached all over the place. Does it get any easier to tell a man no, regardless of his length of time, whether he's a rookie or he's a guy that's been cut 15 times and still trying to get in there, or a veteran, say, like a Timmy Jennings?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, in Tim's case, he's had great success in the league. He's got skins on the wall, and, I wish him nothing but the best. I told him, it's not personal. It's just the direction we're going, and, I expect him to, I wish him nothing but the best moving forward if that situation creates itself.
Well, the bottom line is 480 players got cut in the last 24 hours or so, or will when the deadline comes tomorrow, and that's about one out of every six NFL players in camp. So that really hits home.
Yeah.
And I brought this up with Tom the other night on the broadcast, because you go through the preparation, at least I do for the broadcast, and see the guys, the undrafted guys or the guys that have been on 7-8 teams, have been waived sometimes, in some cases four times by a team, and they're still trying to get a bite at the apple. And I simply asked him this question, why? And he goes, love of the game. They don't want to be told no.
No, there's no doubt. I think I've got great respect for what these guys do. I know a lot of fans, see the glory of Sundays and, how lucky these guys are making all this money. And it's not like that top to bottom, in this league. And it's a hard way to earn a profession. It's very, very competitive. The percentage of, people that get to make it and get on that 53-man roster. And really, even it's a great honor to be on a 10-man practice squad, because you're a developmental player and, guys grow and learn. And it all starts with the talent level and the skill set of your team, and that helps you win on Sundays.
Every cliche in the book comes flying out when you start cut down day and the opportunities and doors close and other ones open. But as much cliche as it is, it does build your football team, and it gives guys a great chance to take a bite at that apple we talk about. And such is the case with this team now moving forward here in the final preseason game and over the course of the next 12 days, because It also depends on who gets cut out there. There may be guys you want, so that door is going to keep moving, opening, and closing. I remember when Pete Carroll took over in Seattle, they had more transactions in one calendar year than I have ever seen in my life. And I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but you're trying to build a winner.
Yeah, I think these guys get it. You know, I mean, once you start the preseason games, that tape is looked at by all 32 teams. And maybe if it doesn't work out here, you know, the numbers aren't stacked right, maybe at a particular guy's position. You know, these guys are, you know, personnel guys are scouring all these tapes, all these films, all these reps. And, you know, sometimes guys get claimed other places. So, you know, it is competitive. And, you know, guys are just looking for that opportunity to get on NFL tape. And, you know, that's their job resume.
And then the great equalizer, the word you don't want to hear in the preseason, injuries. And certainly you're having a few here that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's part of the game. You know, it happens in the preseason. It happens in the regular season. And, you know, I've been in situations where it happens in the postseason. We had, you know, six starters lost for the season and went to the Super Bowl. So very few of these seasons go as smooth as you'd expect. That's why there's only been one undefeated season in history. You know, so there's very talented players, and you've got to be able to manage all the adversity and the prosperity that happens in a season.
Heck, first practice of Lovie Smith back in 2004, Brian Urlacher goes down. So you think about that in your first job as an NFL head coach, and it happens every day throughout the National Football League. The only really newsy addition to the injury report today is Jimmy Clausen, in fact, did have a concussion. So is that something that is going to potentially be a long-term thing, short-term thing, or is in the protocol? And it's now just wait and see.
Well, it's just in the protocol. But, you know, just historically, if you look at it, they're not cleared to play on a Sunday or Saturday to Thursday.
Right.
You know, if we were playing on Saturday or playing on Sunday, you know, they might get cleared on Thursday. But, you know, and it's best. I mean, player safety is a big push by the league, and it should be. And I think, you know, even medically, I mean, that night he passed his test, you know, on the field. You know, this is doctors and trainers and, you know, a lot of people with a lot of medical training. You know, we elected not to put him back in, and then he had symptoms, and, you know, so now we did deem it a concussion. At the time, you know, it wasn't. So, you know, injuries are a fluid thing, too. Some guys heal faster than others. Some guys, you know, you don't know the prognosis. Guys get second opinions, and, you know, so it's a battlefield just on, you know, the prognosis of injuries.
What's the second look at the P.J. Dawson hit when he went down to slide, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think, you know, there, you know, obviously, you know, Jeff Triplett and his crew thought it was, you know, he started to slide too late. And, you know, I kind of mentioned to him, you know, we are into player safety. I mean, if that's not a problem, then we need to change it.
No doubt about it. And, you know, and Shay McClellan got a penalty. And, you know, that quarterback was going down as he was. He looked like it was going to be fine, but because of the impact and the quarterback's going down, it looked like he hit him in the head, and I threw a flag. I didn't know about that one. I don't expect you to comment on that one, but that's the way it is. We got to head to a break here. We'll talk more with John Fox. A couple of more segments to go with the Bears head coach.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Back with you at Havis Hall on the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. Be pleased to be with you. We'll be here until 7:30 tonight. John will be here until the top of the hour, and then we'll be joined by the brand new strength and conditioning coach and Jason George. And you have history, so we'll be looking forward to talk to him. He was an assistant, and he gets the big job now. Big job. Good man, huh?
Yeah, Jason's outstanding. He worked for API for many years, and so many of our players were going off-site to work out of these special gyms. And, you know, so I figured way back when, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I hired a bunch of those guys. Luke Richardson was our number one guy. Jason was number two in Denver. And they got a fantastic program. It's really player-friendly. It's, you know, as good as there is on soft tissue stuff. And, you know, he's done a great job here.
And you brought him in, and you've worked with him. And what kind of advice has he given you personally? You're in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking fit.
Yeah, well, I think
you're looking fit.
I got my heart fixed, you know, so I can actually exercise now and get my heart rate over 120.
It's 6:44 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM as the Bears get ready to meet the Cleveland Browns in the final game of the preseason on Thursday night. Let's take a look back as you watch the tape. Better chance for us to break down some of the things that we quickly asked you after the game, Tom and I, that you couldn't tell from just a first glance. But, you know, some of the things, and you mentioned it more than once, self-inflicted, these are not like, you know, plays that can't be made by these guys. You know, it's just simply better technique.
Yeah,
and better decisions.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it was, you know, we didn't execute properly, whether it was on offense or defense. You know, some of it was penalties. You know, I think, you know, the false start penalties. We had a hold on third and one. We pick up the first down, and, you know, now it's third and 11. You know, so many of those things, learning new schemes, guys aren't totally comfortable yet. I think, you know, anytime in camp you go from training camp mode, you move back home, you don't have bed check, you don't have, you know, you're not quite as tightly screwed down. It's been my experience that that week is not one of your better weeks as far as performance. And so, you know, I think you approach guys, and this is all a process and how you teach them to do anything. I think, you know, we'll learn from it and get better for it.
The first team offense with six possessions, five punts, and a field goal, so 12 in three games. You're getting some points with the field goals, but now just finishing drives, that's the next step in the process.
Yeah, I think, you know, most of preseason is to evaluate players. So you don't scheme things. If anything, you hide stuff.
Yeah,
I think
you have to.
Offensively and defensively, especially when you're a new staff. So we've been, you know, this isn't an excuse, it's just a reality, is we've been vanilla, you know, on offense and defense. So I think, you know, those are things that will change when we start game planning and getting ready for the regular season as far as the structure of what we're doing. And right now we're trying to highlight on execution. And, you know, we did it pretty decent the first 2 weeks and not so well this past week against Cincinnati.
And you're getting a lot of questions about the tackle position, left and right. You know, how do you help somebody like Bush get through whatever back issues he's dealing with? He's even mentioned, you know, you got to fight through it. So how can you help him?
Yeah, I think, you know, I get asked every once in a while by the media, is he 100%? And the truth is that nobody out there is 100% by the nature of what they do. So, you know, Jamon's a veteran guy. We're going to manage him, which you do with all veteran players. I mean, you know, I didn't make Peyton Manning practice every snap of every practice just because they can't and hold up. So whenever you have a veteran player, you do manage their reps and manage how you prepare them. It'll be no different with Jermon, and he should be fine throughout the season.
And you look at the right tackle position, it is a competition right now. Charles Leno Jr. and Jordan Mills, even in the pass set last week, if Charles Leno on one of those sacks just maybe sets, not, doesn't set so far outside, just cuts down that lane, and maybe that's a whole different scenario. Stuff like that can get improved real quick.
Oh, no question, especially with young players. I mean, you get into the game, and sometimes, you know, it goes a little bit too fast, and you lose some of those, you know, real exacts of your technique. And, you know, I mean, he had a lot of good plays, too. You know, unfortunately, in the offensive line, you know, they see you when you jump off sides, and they see you when you give up sacks. So, you know, again, it's part of developing young players, and he's working very hard at it, and he's had a good week of practice so far, and we'll see how he does against Cleveland.
Listen to the next Bears All-Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, Thursday, September 10th at 6 p.m. on WSCR, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Hunter in, and pressure coming free. It is blocked and running free on the bounce, bobbling it, picking it up and into the end zone. Umadu with a touchdown after the block punt that he managed to do on Huber, and the Bears are on the board.
Yeah, iffy with the block punt and the touchdown in from 8 yards. You know, some of these names get difficult, right? A lot of Nigerian players in the National Football League now, Big John. And but, you know, going back over his resume, that's a basketball player. He showed some athleticism. Now, there was a breakdown, clearly, but he got up in the air to block that punt, picked it up on one hop, and scooted in.
Yeah, I think, you know, I even saw the confidence boost, you know, in practice today. You know,
from him?
From yeah.
No kidding.
And, you know, confidence goes a long ways. I think you know, he was all excited. I actually missed his little yoga pose.
Me too, yeah.
During game time, and I saw it on the video coming home. But, you know, you love to see that. You know, I think everybody in the league will see that play. You know, special teams coaches will be pulling it up. You know, anytime there's a block punt, you look around the league. And but good for him. He's a kid that's worked hard, and it was good to see him you know, I had that little spotlight.
The Play of the Week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Here with head coach John Fox in our debut for 2015 of the Bears Coaches Show as the Bears prepare now for the Cleveland Browns. A couple of other things I'd like to get into before we let you go here at the top of the hour. Some of the outside linebacker positions, you know, that's probably, along with running back, I guess you can arguably say it was the most competitive positions, you know, right now, and that you're going to have some guys there, big decisions to make. Guys are coming on strong.
No doubt. I think, we were unsure 3 months ago, you know, on how fast Willie Young and Lamar Houston were going to come back, one coming off an ACL, the other off of an Achilles tear. But, we've managed them good. Our strength people and medical staff have done an outstanding job, as well as Clint Hurt, our outside linebacker coach, you know, just building their confidence, you know, in their injuries and getting used to the contact and stuff. And really, that was their most extensive play. And, I think Lamar showed up, I believe, had two sacks. And, you know, I think that's probably our deepest position right now. And, you know, guys we think can play that hopefully can help us put pressure on the quarterback.
I tell you, two of the underrated plays, in my opinion, you tell me if I'm on the right track with Jared Allen, while he's getting blocked to the ground, you know, fighting and making plays in the run game.
Right.
At that position.
Yeah, early in the game, they had a windback run that he came off the tight end and actually tripped up the back. And then, they ran a Z reverse. It's not, we got some trick plays in that game. And, you know, test your discipline. And he did a great job of playing off the block and actually made the tackle in space. So the guys are trying hard. And like I said, we didn't execute as well as we're capable of. And, you know, very fixable things moving forward.
Even though the first drive was a long one, did you like the grit inside the three for those first three downs and they tried to jam it in on the first drive of the game?
Yeah, I think I'm still not sure the quarterback scored. You know, I think, on the fourth down play. So, it was just something you couldn't replay. It wasn't a good view of it. But, definitely, and for as much as you work on goal line, you don't get those opportunities very much. And it basically is, a gut check, when you get down there. And, we had a key third down right before that. You know, it was third and three. We played a little bit too loose. And then early in that drive, we should have been three and out. You know, we lost contain and, a guy messed up as far as what we were doing. And, like I said, there are a lot of self-inflicted wounds that I think we can correct, and we'll get better moving forward.
Well, Eddie Goldman, he's a big man. There's no doubt about it. But he was tough to deal with when he was in there.
Yeah,
he was tough to deal with.
Yeah, right down there in the goal line, we have a front that he puts him over the center, and he walked the guy back pretty good. And it ended up being, and you need penetration down there because you only got to get a half a yard. So you got to be pretty physical up front, and I think our guys did a good job, in that spot.
And even there were plays in the game, and this goes back to your point earlier about new scheme, and you're seeing things. I saw Ego Ferguson; he had a clean path to A.J. McCarron, but he stopped for a second. It wasn't going to be a run play, and then he turned on the juice, hit him as he got rid of the football. But even just that, when he knows it, he's going to sack that quarterback. There seems to be a lot of opportunities for the interior guys to get to the quarterback because of how you guys are running your show.
Yeah. And Cincinnati's an outstanding roster.
Yeah.
1-53, they're pretty good. We played them in Cincinnati when I was in Denver last year, and they beat us on Sunday night. But, they're a talented roster, good football team, I think four straight playoffs. So, you're playing against a good opponent. I know it's the preseason, but matchup-wise, physically, I wasn't that depressed after watching the tape. A lot of it, like I said, was self-inflicted. And, we were lighting some spots, too, going into the game, and particularly wide receiver.
Yeah, wide receiver. So that situation will iron itself out. You got still plenty of time. Those guys are going to come back.
Yeah, I think we've, had a chance to, look at it, analyze it, debrief it, and, we'll see what we can learn moving forward.
All right. Anything for the Browns game real quick? I know you guys got a lot of meetings to do and all that, but, a year ago, and again, different situation, different team, 40 of the 75 guys were rested that night, so they only had put out 35. Is that the same philosophy or what you potentially do?
It will be similar.
Okay.
I think the league prefers we don't, talk in those terms. But, I think, for the fans out there, you're not going to see
players
a whole lot. And, but there's still important guys, in the bottom half of the roster that, make you play better on special teams. You never know. You might be playing with them, week eight. So anybody on that 53-man roster, you got to feel good about. And, you get a chance to look at those guys one more time.
All right. Maiden voyage in the books. You'll get sick of me by the end of the year.
not often. Jeff, always a pleasure.
Bears head coach John Fox coming up next. We'll talk with Jason George, the Bears strength and conditioning coach.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring head strength and conditioning coach Jason George. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System, MasterCard, and Comcast. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
A.J. McCarron, 149 yards and the touchdown here at 2nd and 9 from the 47. He's hit and down he goes. Coming in clean, untouched. Lamar Houston plants A.J. McCarron back to the Bengal 39.
And Lamar Houston, the Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak with Jason George. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Glad to have you here. Welcome to Chicago. People should know he's a native of Manitoba.
Winnipeg, Manitoba.
That's the proper explanation, but he is a football man. So he loves his hockey, but he's a football
man. That's right.
Coming over from the Denver Broncos, and glad to have you here. What's it like to have, for the first time at the NFL level, it's your job. You're the head man, and so you can put some great ideas on the table and run with it, right?
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been great support from Coach Fox, to the administration of the McCaskey family. They've given me the tools to create a great facility to train the players in, and the players have been excited. They've bought in, all the way, and we're having a good time and working hard.
What is the biggest change in the weight room? What did you want to accomplish from what was there to what? Because everyone has different philosophy.
Sure. We still mix in some of the elements of some old school weight training, but we're a little bit more progressive in some of our approaches in terms of we want to create maximum strength without having any negative impact on the body, so without any collateral damage, if you want to say that. So we've brought in a lot of equipment from Kaiser, which is an air resistance machine, a pneumatic resistance that we use to squat on. We've got functional trainers that we use there from Kaiser as well. We've bought in 15 power plates, which we're one of the only few facilities in the nation to have that many, to do a lot of soft tissue work on, to do a lot of flexibility work on, to do stability strength work on, and our players gravitate to those machines for those things and self-massage tools that we have on it. So it's those have been two big aspects that we've built on the existing program here before.
For those who have not ever used or seen or understand what the power plate system is, can you explain it in simple terms?
It's a vibration plate, and we have different protocols. It can vibrate at a higher or lower setting with a higher or lower amplitude, and we have different protocols based on what we're trying to accomplish, whether it's, like I said, soft tissue, flexibility.
While you're doing the exercise that you're doing, correct?
Correct. So you might have an implement between you and the plate, and you might have your hand behind your back and work soft tissue through your shoulder or through your hip or through your hamstring. We take all our players through something called a functional movement screen, and we try to identify any deficiencies in mobility or stability or asymmetries between the left and right side of the body, and then go through corrective exercises to help them function better. The analogy I like to use is if I'm an auto mechanic with a car, I'm not just worried about putting horsepower into a car. I'm worried about the alignment and the suspension and if the car is pulling left or right. If you put just horsepower into a vehicle that's pulling left or right, the suspension's not right, you're going to blow a tire. So we're trying to do things in a smart, progressive way and look at all the angles we can do to help their performance.
Big dumbbell guy also, correct?
We've got the power block dumbbell system.
Right. Tell me about that.
It's really just a space saver for us, and it's a great product that in one location, we can have a 5-pound all the way up incrementally to 125-pound dumbbell. And if you had that just lying up against a weight room, you're covering about 15 feet and a bunch of expenses. And it's we have 30 of them in our facility. In each workout station platform, we have 14 platforms. They're all equipped with one each. So it's a smooth transition for us to move from a dumbbell or back to a barbell in one place in one location, having them all there.
It was an addition, obviously, just a couple of years ago. The size and the actual functionability of it all, are you pleased with?
Yes.
Nice facility.
It's great. We were spoiled in Denver and we're spoiled in Chicago with the space we have. I've seen a few other facilities in the league, and I'm really proud of what we've put together here and the space and size we have. And it's been tremendous with the upgrade of the equipment in the facility now, too.
All right. We're going to step away here at 7:08. Jason George will be with us here till the close to the bottom of the hour.
The Bears Coaches Show with head strength and conditioning coach Jason George and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
I think just getting confidence back in my body and getting the healing and getting everything together, it's been a process. It's been a long process, something I wasn't really accustomed to or used to. But I think the training staff did a good job with me, and we worked together hand in hand, and it's all been good. I'm feeling really positive and healthy going forward.
That is Alan Ball, the Bears' new cornerback, on where his health is at after an offseason of rehab and getting himself right, an ankle issue. And before that, I think it was a biceps injury he had last season in a game against the Cleveland Browns. Back here on the Coach's Show at Hallis Hall with Jason George. And you heard the cut of Alan Ball. And that confidence in feeling right just really shows up on the field. When a guy knows his body is working properly and really the engine's running right,
yeah,
it's purring,
yeah,
they can play football.
No question.
Yeah, you're 9 times out of 10 got to fight through something anyway. But when you're feeling just mentally right, so... Are you part psychologist, I guess, is the question.
I think biggest part psychologist, you know.
Okay, okay.
I live in the physical world, but definitely, there has to be a trust between player and coach in any relationship that you're having with them. You're trying to put them in positions to get them better, but sometimes it's uncomfortable, and you've got to be able to push them and know which buttons, know which guys you can push a little harder and which guys you got to love up a little bit more. So definitely you get the psychologist role comes out.
And the trust factor beyond the relationship, but in their own body. So, you know, we just did the Bengals game, obviously. So the big conversation with their broadcast crew was Geno Atkins, who a year before had... blew his ACL, but so last season kind of crow hopped. He didn't trust the push off, and he wasn't really pulling up any grass. Now he's tearing turf up. He's feeling comfortable.
Yeah,
those things are something important to overcome. And even though it's healed, sometimes they just don't trust it. Right?
There's no question. Sometimes physically, you'll see an athlete who can do. They should be able to do everything, but there's just that last step when they're returning from an injury with a return to play protocol. And it's a psychological one. They got to be able to push through that, and you got to know how to know who your athlete is and know how to give them confidence individually.
So that takes some research on your part too, because it's a get to know you for you as well as head coach John Fox and the rest of the coaching staff. Do you feel 9 months is enough to get to know guys, or that's still a process?
It's a good start, but it's an ongoing process. It's something that's not going to be okay. I got them. You know, it's something that any relationship is going to have ebbs and flows, and any relationship has to continue to grow. It's you're either going to get closer to somebody or you're going to move further away from them. So we're trying to. Each day, build those relationships and build that trust and get them to work and have them know that we have their best interests in mind.
And the sports psychology angle is a part of your education as well that I see here. Your master's degree in education with a double specialization in sports psychology and sports administration. Because yeah. There's a management component to your job now as well.
Definitely. I mean... you know, you're dealing with a large number of people, especially in the off season. We got 90 guys on the roster. We're down to 75 as of today, 76 or 75, and we'll get to our 53. But as it gets closer to that 53-man roster, there's things that we'll be able to do more organizationally because of the facility and because of the space, and we have to have a plan moving forward for each guy. And we've kind of, with the off season, we organize it more of a team training, and then we get to know our players and then individualize it as we get more into the in-season program.
I've often been told by veteran players in my 19 years associated with this organization, especially the veterans that have come upon an ACL tear or something significant, it's a lonely journey to rehab during a season when you're disconnected from the player. Even though if you're in the meetings or you're hanging out, it's still that disconnect. You're not on the field. You're trying to rehab. And it's tough on some guys. It's really, really tough to be away from it. How about for a rookie, in this case, Kevin White? How do you bridge the gap so they don't feel isolated and they still feel positive about getting back and getting and being a part of something?
Well, the best thing about Kevin White is he's just bulging with positivity when he comes into the room anyway. So he's going to be, for me, I think an easier one to deal with and handle because he's got such a magnetic personality right when he comes in. He's going to be spending a lot of time with us, a lot of time with the training room. He's going to get a lot of things mentally that he's going to be able to learn when he gets an opportunity to get on the field down the road. But those relationships, like I said, they're constantly growing and something, you know, you have to have good communication and they have to trust in the process and we have to trust them to get their work done.
You've been doing this a long time, even back at Fordham when you were a strength and conditioning coach there as well. But nutrition and hydration, the emphasis on hydration has really probably become to the forefront more maybe in the last decade from my experience anyway. How important really is it? And it's not like, okay, I got a game Sunday, I better start drinking on Sunday morning. You got to have hydration really early in the week, don't you?
All week, but we really preach 48 hours before the event, the sporting event, is when we're pushing fluids hard and pushing what having a mindset of what they're going to eat and a plan of what they're going to eat and trying to be smart and educate them in that that approach. Our dietitian, Jen Gibson, does a tremendous job educating our players, and she also is our sports science coordinator, so she's helping out in a few different areas. If we've got a technology question or a nutrition question, she's an excellent resource for us with her time at the U.S. Olympic Committee and all the success she's had there. So that's one person that's been great for us in educating our athletes on the importance of nutrition and hydration.
The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lawrence Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Or go over to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. One more segment with Jason George.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 105.9 FM WBBM.
And welcome back to the program. My remaining moments here with Jason George, the Bears strength and conditioning coach, with you until 7:30 tonight. This week's Browns-Bears game brought to you by Bears Hall of Fame partner United Airlines. The first 25,000 fans entering Soldier Field receive a Bears schedule magnet courtesy of United Airlines. United, proudly flying the Bears for over 40 years. We've touched on some new things that you're doing with nutrition and the weight training and so forth. For parents of the high school kids that are just started, they just started here in the area last week, best advice in terms of what they're doing in the weight room, because not every school really spends a lot of time with the kids doing that. There just isn't time. They're there to practice and go to school, but the weightlifting portion of things, do you have anything that's really standard and true that works for you from your mind?
The best thing that I could tell a young athlete in training is to get good at the fundamentals of training and don't go with the flashy fads or this high-profile athlete does this, so I'm going to follow his lead in terms of that. Get good at what your coaches are trying to teach you, the basic fundamentals. If you're squatting with good technique, if you're doing the Olympic lifts with good technique, focus on doing those things well. Work hard on them, but be smart with your progressions and don't get caught up in chasing a number. Remember what the ultimate goal is. The ultimate goal is not reaching a number in a weight room. The ultimate goal is what you're doing on the field with your performance. So you don't want to put yourself at risk with your training. You want to make sure that you're healthy moving forward for your ultimate goal on the field. So I would say don't get caught up in the fads. Don't get caught up in a number. Get good at the fundamentals and technique and work hard.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
Does not happen overnight.
It's going to take some time.
Consistency is the biggest thing in training.
Scheduling of games. Most of our games this year are noon starts.
Yes.
But when you have those odd times, including we got home games against the Packers and Cardinals and head to Seattle, you know, how do you manage that situation? Do you put much thought into it?
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to analyze every situation, but, you know, we're kind of fortunate in some ways. Everybody likes playing primetime games, but we only have the two this year, I believe, on a Thursday night and a Monday night, which is not a bad thing in terms of having consistency and routine. So it makes it easier for us that knowing we're playing on a Sunday each week. Or the majority of times, and how that schedule is going to go and how we can get in the work in and the days we're going to do it. What makes it tougher is the Thursday night games with the short week coming off of that, the preparation and getting the guys' bodies ready to go. It's really about how quick you can recover from the Sunday to the Thursday. That's the toughest scheduling thing that they can have. And then going on the road, transitioning time zones, we've had some experience with that. And you know, for Seattle, we might go out a little bit early. So that's just one idea.
All right, we're going to let you go. Appreciate time coming in here. We could talk for a full hour about all this stuff. Jason George, the Bears strength and conditioning coach, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Bears head coach John Fox at the 6:30 time for the start of the show. We got into discussion about preseason and training camp mode. Here's John.
Yeah, I think we still have a lot of work to do, and you know, guys have been really good as far as their attention to detail and the things we're working on. And but we still have we could use all 12 of those days.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm sure even the very best of rosters are loaded with players. Coaches feel the same way, regardless. Correct?
Yeah, I think
you have to.
You know, every year the personality of your team changes. You know, that's the modern day NFL. So there's free agency, players leave, move. You know, so every year, you know, due to injuries, all kind of ways that it's a very fluid process. And, you know, being a new staff and whatnot, getting your culture taught, your systems taught, you know, it's there's not enough time.
Well, not enough time. And this brings me to a great point, because I know that some people may be tired of hearing you say, well, I've only had three games with these guys. That's code for I don't really know everybody yet. I still have to learn these guys. It's only been 9 months since I've been on the job. Is that the essence of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, until you start playing games, I mean, this game is really about what to do, how to do it, the techniques involved, and then being able to execute it under pressure. And so, you know, you create practice deals. I mean, you create situational football into practice. But how they execute on game day, you know, on that with that pressure I'm talking about, you don't know. And so, you know, I think, you know, myself, you know, the staff, everybody involved, we're getting to know players and how they react in those pressure situations.
Yeah, so my next question is, are you getting a sense for some guys what they are going to be?
Yeah, I think, you know, every day you're with them. I mean, you get close to all of them. We just cut down to 75, saying goodbye, you know, to guys, young men that have been, you know, busting their rear ends all offseason, you know, all throughout camp. And, you know, saying goodbye to them is not easy. You know, you build relationships, and this is a relationship business. It's a people business. And, you know, that's never easy. But, you know, you can't keep them all. They understand that. They understand it's a business. It's not personal. And, you know, you keep the best guys, in your opinion, that are going to help you.
In your 26 years in the National Football League, and then, you know, going back to college, you were a recruiter in college. You coached all over the place. Does it get any easier to tell a man no, regardless of his length of time, whether he's a rookie or he's a guy that's been cut 15 times and still trying to get in there, or a veteran, say, like a Timmy Jennings?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, in Tim's case, you know, he's had great success in the league. You know, he's got skins on the wall, and, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I told him, you know, it's not personal. It's just the direction we're going, and, you know, I expect him to, you know, I wish him nothing but the best moving forward if that situation creates itself.
Well, the bottom line is 480 players got cut in the last 24 hours or so, or will when the deadline comes tomorrow, and that's about one out of every six NFL players in camp. So that really hits home.
Yeah.
And I brought this up with Tom the other night on the broadcast. Because you go through the preparation, at least I do, for the broadcast, and see the guys, the undrafted guys, or the guys that have been on 7-8 teams, have been waived, sometimes, in some cases, four times by a team, and they're still trying to get a bite at the apple. And I simply ask him this question, why? And he goes, love of the game. You know, they don't want to be told no.
No, there's no doubt. I think I've got great respect for what these guys do. I know a lot of fans, you know, see the glory of Sundays and, you know, oh, how lucky these guys are making all this money. And it's not like that top to bottom, you know, in this league. And it's a hard way to earn a profession. It's very, very competitive. The percentage of, you know, people that get to make it and get on that 53-man roster. And really, even it's a great honor to be on a 10-man practice squad, you know, because you're a developmental player and, you know, guys grow and learn. And, you know, it all starts with the talent level and the skill set of, you know, of your team. And that helps you win on Sunday.
Coach John Fox, as we continue on here to wrap things up, thanks to Jason George and Bears Director of Broadcasting Greg Miller, producer Andy Gersher, studio producer Keith Johnson. Thursday, Bears-Browns exclusive pregame coverage getting underway at 6, kickoff at 7. This is News Radio on 105.9 FM. Good night, everybody.